I'm honoured to be invited to speak today at your fifth forum on security and strategy, a world at a crossroad, re-engagement or factionalism. I've been privileged to participate in all five such annual meetings in person and online, and I hope we can meet again face-to-face soon. Thank you to Fu Ying and Dr. Da Wei and colleagues, you and your forum attendees from China and the United States and other parts of the world are old friends. And this matters today more than ever. There's an old Kenyan proverb, when the elephants fight, it is the grass that suffers. When great powers disagree or go to war, it is the small powers, the little people, that get trampled on. In my view, we are living in a world that is now severely geopolitically fractured, not just fragmented. It feels like a hinge moment in history for the global commons. As Larry Summers has called it, or in the words of Pope Francis, it is the end of an epoch, not just an era. Our world is more turbulent and uncertain now than at any time in the past 80 years since the end of the Second World War. The recent era of prosperity and relative peace is giving way to fracturing, deglobalization, containment, and potentially conflict. The US and China are, of course, the two great powers at the heart of this new and destabilizing era. The global COVID pandemic, the war in Ukraine have exacerbated the underlying geopolitical forces. These forces have been coalescing for several years into a toxic cocktail of multilateral mistrust and political withdrawal behind national borders. Cooperation is now increasingly difficult to achieve on matters that affect the global commons, issues that do not respect national borders, such as global climate change, which is now a very real and existential threat to humanity. Global issues such as this demand more, not less, effective forms of global governance and collaboration. Yet the two great elephants are trampling the grass. They can't quietly resolve between them a fairly simple issue, such as a Chinese balloon flying by mistake over American airspace. Instead, the matter escalates through rhetoric, threat, and further retreat into nationalism. Our world cannot go on like this. Right now, on present indications, it appears unlikely that governments alone will agree to take the lead in working together for the reforms of global governance for a more unified world. Leadership for more major systemic change may need to come from multiple actors, including but not limited to enlightened governments. It may be increasingly necessary for other voices to coalesce, to help governments and intergovernmental processes to move further and faster. In this regard, the alignment of global non-government actors towards common cause would represent a powerful voice. This impact would be even greater if these actors were drawn from diverse backgrounds and traditions and could align. Imagine this. Imagine if it were possible to design processes to bring together leaders from across the globe, from business, academia, faiths, non-government organisations, institutions and civil society, along with governments, to seek common agreement about pathways for systemic reform at the global level. In fact, this work is going on right now in many places through various forms, including loose and tight coalitions and affiliations. It appears, however, that this work, while important, is not by itself sufficient, and that renewed, more globally impactful efforts for governments' reform at the global level will be required. A major issue that impairs efforts for global governance reform is that of a lack of an agreed destination or a set of outcomes that can be committed to, shared across humanity and measured and held to account along the way. A partial exception to this are the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, which have been agreed by all governments, setting targets for the achievement of 17 goals in the service of humanity by 2030. It was quite a remarkable effort to win such an agreement under the United Nations banner. However, while these goals are absolutely worthy and serve as common short-term guideposts for humanity, the responsibility for their achievement and enforcement sits in a kind of soft ether of non-accountability. Similarly, the Paris Agreement for Action on Global Climate Change is struggling to land on accountability and delivery mechanisms, not least of which is the matter of what financial compensation the developed world will agree to pay the developing world for past emissions. On this issue, the Global South, has rightly raised its voice. All systems of legitimate international governance today are built around nation states and the sharing of power between them. Nations, however, are somewhat prisoners of their own national constraints. Imagine if it would be possible to step outside this whole paradigm and to think of our world, our planet, as one whole unitary system that required at least some forms of singular joined-up thinking and actions to follow. Could we conceive of a shared and agreed language around terms such as universalism, which is promoted by French President Emmanuel Macron, as a more holistic concept than that of multilateralism as we know it at present, with its implications of trade-offs, agreements and disagreements between nation-states? Would it be possible to imagine a universalism which has at its core the idea of a pact for global human security to embrace all facets of the human condition? And from this, might we imagine a global declaration of interdependence that takes and elevates the principles that inform the United Nations at its founding and creates new forms of power and decision-making, an upgraded United Nations, if you like, that is much more reflective of today's changed world? My organisation is committed to playing its part not as a body of major influence, but as an active convener, providing a platform for voices from East and West, North and South to meet and address these very substantial issues. We want globalisation to be remade, not pulled apart. We want a world built on cooperative globalisation that is win-win. What is interesting is that an increasing number of people of global influence in official and non-official roles want to walk down this path together. They too see that we can't go on as we are going, walking across an abyss. China's proposal for a global security initiative should therefore be warmly welcomed as a major contribution by a great power to the global conversation about how we achieve global human security, a goal of human flourishing with each other and not apart from each other. Our world today has too many declarations of insecurity, of so-called defensive protection from the other. With the Global Security Initiative, as in other domains, I believe that China is trying to make a contribution to the betterment of the global commons. For those of us in the world who have the capability to do so, we should be grateful and engage and advocate with China's proposal. Next month, my own organisation will do that when we bring a global delegation to Beijing, our first visit to China in over 3 years due to the pandemic, for roundtable discussions on remaking globalisation around human security. Then over the course of this year, we will involve Chinese colleagues in our global conversations in other parts of the world, doing our small part, as we all should do, to help build mutual understanding, trust and confidence for a world of win-win.